If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All right, welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are live in Lawrence. Big game tonight. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, KU and TCU. It will be on the airwaves here. 8 o'clock start, right? Six,
yes.
Seven, eight. I'm going to go with eight. First instinct, I guess I should probably look at that a little bit closer. 8 o'clock tonight, great spot if you don't have tickets, is the 23rd Street Brewery, where we have been broadcasting here today, where I always love coming. Matt Llewellyn, such a great host, and all the staff does such a great job, and you can go for anything from the Bill Self mac and cheese to the Haney Stack,
yep.
Which is where Joe Dineen went, linebacker for the Kansas Jayhawks, joins us here on our Sprint guest line. You went Haney Stack.
I did, yeah, that's usually what I get. It hasn't always been called that. But I guess they named it after him.
I guess like when you have no diversity whatsoever, like Brian Haney, and you order the same thing over and over again, Matt felt obligated to just throw him a bone.
Right, it's only right.
And give it to him. But it is. It is a stack of turkey.
Yeah.
It's like a monster turkey sandwich.
It's good. Yeah, I recommend it.
I'm a huge fan. I love it as well. Have you tried the, I forget what it's called, Matt and I just say, give me the tuna. Their tuna, do you like sushi?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to go get the, it's called the ahi tuna.
Okay.
Sashimi-grade tuna served raw and diced with cucumbers. Don't let the raw scare you. Served with diced cucumber, sesame seeds, avocado, scallions, and ponzu, which is apparently soy sauce.
Okay. Fancy soy sauce.
Fancy soy sauce.
Okay.
Served with lavish crackers. Lavish? Lavish? L-A-H-V-O-S-H.
Oh, I think it's lavish.
Lavish. It is awesome.
Okay.
If you love sushi, you're going to love this. It is so good. It's my absolute favorite on the menu.
Okay.
So maybe one day they'll have Fatty's Tuna or something. They'll name it after me.
Yeah, right. Okay.
We'll have that going. First of all, how you doing? What's going on in a football player's life right now at this point in the year? Because spring ball's
right
looming, and so what all's going on for you? How much actual football are you dealing with right now?
You know, not a whole lot. The coaches have been off recruiting and stuff, but we'll get some like player 7-on-7 stuff like that in. But what we're focused on right now is like our 8-week weight program. So, you know, just trying to change our bodies, get bigger, faster, stronger. And we were spending a lot of time with our strength staff and Coach Woodfin.
And you know, how much of a break do you take at the end of the season to just kind of recoup and get your body fresh again? Do you shut it down for a week, 2 weeks, 2 months? What do you do?
Well, actually, what we do is, when the school year is over, when our season ends, is right around when the school year gets over. So we have that whole winter break off. And then when we come back, we report and get ready to go again. But we're hoping this year that we don't get that long of a break. We can win some games this year and maybe go to a bowl game. So we're hoping not to get that long break.
And where is the psyche on the team? Because this was year you guys made some noise last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a feeling that, okay, this was going to be the breakout year.
Right.
And this was the year that, you know, if things went right, we're going to be talking about a bowl season. And it never really got off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the season. What kind of got sidetracked? Or were the expectations just too high?
You know, I don't think the expectations were too high. You know, obviously we didn't want the season to be like that at all. And I felt like we prepared every week like it was a new week, and we didn't let the previous week influence what we were doing or our mindset. But we just couldn't get things rolling. And, you know, we didn't want that to happen. We didn't expect that to happen. And we're doing everything we can now to make sure that doesn't happen again. We have a lot of seniors, more than normal. My class being a fifth year guy, and then a lot of seniors under me who have played a lot of football, and we're kind of trying to set the tone differently than we have in the past to change the culture.
Is it possible that there was a sense of complacency? I mean, not complacency, but because you did have some moments, mm-hmm. where you know you had Kansas City Chiefs quarterback on the ropes, you know, against
right,
Texas
right.
Tech the year before, and that there was a feeling that you were more than you really were, that you forgot about how hungry and how hard you played, And it wasn't intentional, and it wasn't like guys were lazy. And right. It wasn't like they didn't care. But you did lose a little bit of the edge that got right. you to where you were about to knock some big boys out, and did knock a big boy out in Texas.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think a lot of us expected to come in and just be good, and it didn't work out like that. And I think when we didn't experience the success off the bat, we kind of, in a way, it affected us negatively because we weren't expecting that at all. We were expecting to come in and, you know, make some noise and stuff like that. And when it didn't happen, it hurt a little bit.
Yeah. And then it snowballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you feel it slipping away?
You know, you don't feel it when you're playing. And like I said earlier, it really wasn't – every week we went in there, it wasn't like the previous week really affected that week. But it's just like little things that happen throughout a game that we need to change the mindset from. If we get down, it's like, here we go again, to if we get down, all right, let's go. Let's attack it, and let's bring it back.
It was amazing how if something could go wrong, it went wrong right away.
Right.
Like, you guys couldn't even get into the flow, and then, okay, maybe we got to overcome something here late in the second quarter or the third quarter. It seemed like so many times if something was going to go wrong, it went wrong early and put you down and put you in that comeback mode. Is there something you can do schematically? Is it a mindset? Are you, quote-unquote, not ready to play when those things are happening? Or is it just the most horrible run of luck you can imagine?
Well, no, it's not the most horrible run of luck. Everyone experiences that luck. It's just how you deal with that luck. And I think that's the big thing is just – Like changing the way that we attack things when something doesn't go our way. So many times in the future that when something bad happened, we just kind of crawl in the hole and say, oh, here we go again. This is going to be how it is in the past. And one thing that we're really doing this off season with Coach Woodfin and with our strength staff is just trying to bring back like that competitive fire that we all had when we were in high school, you know, competing, because all of us came from – pretty good programs,
right?
We were all, so it's not like
a
winning
couple guys
is,
on your team is enough to make a high school program a winning program,
right? It's not like foreign to us winning, so we're trying to bring back that. I mean, we're good football, we're Big 12 football players just like everyone else, and we can compete with the rest of them. We just gotta have that confidence.
Why Kansas? I mean, you're a local guy, obviously. Lawrence Free State. I couldn't remember which one of the
right.
Fess up. I had to look up which one of the – I knew it was one of the Lawrence schools. But Lawrence Free State, you got a Jayhawk on your arm.
Yep.
So you're pretty committed to the program.
Yep.
That kind of thing's forever. Or you get the weird-looking I took it off thing, which I don't
the henna tattoo?
Happening. Yeah. So what was your – is it just like, hey, this is it. I was going to be a Jayhawk all along is what my family is, and you had no choice? Or did you consider other programs?
No, I considered other programs, but, you know, growing up here and then
– Which ones?
I got – now, none of these schools really offered me. I got recruited, but my favorites were Nebraska and Arkansas.
Okay.
Those were my two favorites. But, you know, with the way everything played out, I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, I've got a long history of family that has
right.
played here. Great-grandpa played basketball, mom played volleyball, grandpa played football. And so it's just like me carrying on kind of a legacy in my mind. And so I take pride in wearing the same colors that my family for so many generations has worn
right.
before me.
Could you use more guys like you?
I think having a good amount of guys that really buy in and like know the culture – from like previous is good, but also maybe getting guys that are from other places. So like having a big melting pot of recruits, I think is a good thing.
It does. It's not. I mean, because you know the basketball team almost no one's
right.
from Kansas,
right.
right? I mean, so and we know our population just is not that big here in Kansas, Missouri. Same
right.
thing. You're just not going to fill. And in the state of Kansas, two Division I,
yeah.
Big 12 caliber programs with all Kansas kids. So you're going to have to go out of state. But but you value Lawrence, Kansas, and you value the Jayhawks and
yep.
the colors and all that. That is an important part, not to just be this is where I get to go and go to school for free or try to take that next step to the NFL. I mean, it means something to you. Is it important to 100%. Have a handful of guys like that?
Yeah, it definitely is. And, like, I like the fact that I can't go anywhere in town and have someone that I haven't, like, that I know, like, a ton of people. Right. I grew up here, you know, people and stuff like that. So I think it gives you a little bit more to play for.
Okay.
Because you do know that wherever you're going to go after the game, you're going to see people. So you don't want to have that hanging right over your shoulder. Like, you want to play well for yourself, for your teammates, and for the town that you grew up in.
Is it hard? Because I watch you, and I see a guy still giving his all when right. the team is down. And is that hard? Is it hard to – it's not for you. Obviously, it's right. something that's ingrained in you. And you mentioned, obviously, athletics and competing or something mm-hmm. that – and it's not just athletics with your family, because you're an academic All-American or all Big 12. Or I mean, you compete and achieve right. at right. the academic level. So, you know, competition and succeeding is something that clearly drives you. But do you ever get down when the team is down so many different times? Is it, or is that not even a possibility in the Dineen family?
Well, I mean, I get down. I it frustrates me for sure, but I don't let that affect what I do. I go out and try and make as many plays as I can, no matter what the score is. And I think last year my play depicted that, and hopefully I can keep that up this year. And I think my job has changed a little bit to not only work like getting myself to do that, but picking up everyone else to doing that as well. Kind of back to what I said about changing the mindset when something bad doesn't, or when something bad does happen.
Do you have guys that you think will follow you?
Yeah, I think we got a good core group of older guys, and then guys that are young enough that you can kind of try and change their mindset to get this thing rolling and continue into the future.
Have you seen the talent level come up with the guys that you're competing against?
I have. I just being in the linebacker room, the number of bodies and the number of guys that can play has changed. You know, we got a bunch of freshmen. Like my brother, for instance, is in the linebacker room, and he had a good camp. And he's working hard to get on the field. Kyron Johnson is another guy that he played a little bit last year, but he's looking to step into a bigger role. Then there's older guys like Keith and Osaz and Denzel Feaster who have played a lot of ball. And so there's depth in positions that there wasn't depth in before.
Coach Beatty is such a positive guy. Mm-hmm. You know, at least that's what he projects to those of us in the media around. Do you ever see him get worn down?
I don't. And, you know, that's credit to him. I couldn't imagine being in the position that he's in, because it would be tough, but he motivates us to, you know, get going. You see on Twitter and stuff all the time stuff about him, and for him to just ignore that and come into work every day, put it in, you know, bringing all the energy he does ever since he first got here is impressive.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he is putting the hours in. Mm-hmm. And the scholarship situation, did you know where it was at and being so low when you – I mean, you didn't really seem to have a choice.
Right.
But did you understand what all was going on?
I had an idea. I wasn't sure of, like, the full details of it, but I knew that our numbers were low.
Okay.
And I didn't know, like, numbers wise how low or how long it would take to get him back, but I knew when I first got here that it was low.
It obviously didn't end well for Charlie Weiss. I mean, you don't
right.
get fired unless there's a mistake, but I generally think, you know, and he's an accomplished coach,
uh-huh.
did some really good things at Notre Dame, was tremendous with the Patriots, was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs when they
right.
went 10-6 in the 1 year. I mean, the man knows football. What did you take away from Charlie Weiss in your time? Was there anything that, you know, really stands out to you as, you know, okay, during my couple of years, that's
yeah.
the one thing I remember?
Well, you know, first of all, he was the one that offered me a scholarship, so he was the one that made it possible for me to play here and offered me a free education. So I'm in debt to him for doing that for me. And, you know, just stuff about how much he actually knew about the game. And you hear stories about Brady and the Chiefs and just being at Notre Dame, just the stories and the knowledge of the game that he brought was impressive.
What was like the you got a best Brady story, best Patriot story?
Well, he had Brady when he was young,
right?
So Brady was fresh and stuff, and I think at the time,
not the diva he's become today.
No, not the Tom versus Time diva that we see there, but you know, just like how you would deal with him before he was a star, like because now he's pretty much, you know, he's his quarterback coach. He knows what he's seeing and how he just was able to coach him into that. I mean, obviously there was Bledsoe before,
yep,
and a rookie or whatever it was, Tom Brady steps in and ends up balling out.
Right.
You know, it's – and then, like, years on after that, he kind of turned Brady into – he was the first one that turned Brady into Brady, in a sense, which is pretty cool.
He was there to manage his championship.
Right, which is cool. And you kind of hear just – stuff about him, how hard he worked and stuff like that, which is motivating because, I mean, he's the greatest of all time. So.
Do you still get a chance to talk to Coach Weiss?
I haven't talked to him since he left, unfortunately. I see him on Colin Coward show and stuff like that every once in a while. And
did you see the two bills?
I actually didn't see that one.
He's in that one.
Yeah. I need to check that one
he's
out.
He's golfing or sunning himself somewhere because he was quite tan.
Okay. Yes. Well, yeah, I need to check that one out. I think that'll be an interesting one.
It is. It sounds like you're a student of the game. Like you just love the game of football. You got other sports in your family background, but you're passionate about the game of football.
I think it's the greatest game ever because in football it doesn't take one guy to turn it around, and you actually have to have 22 or 33 depending, like special teams,
right?
Because if one guy doesn't do their job, then the whole play won't work. So like there's a saying on defense, you don't do your job, this play the ball finds you. So you duck in when you should have gone out, the ball is going to find that hole and it's going to be a big play. And I think that's the coolest thing about football is it's 11 grown men trying to get onto this exact same page and accomplish one play however many plays you play.
Yeah. It's the ultimate – Vince Lombardi said it's the ultimate team game,
right,
except for the quarterback who's too damn important.
Right. Except for the quarterback.
Except for the quarterback. Right. That's right. So it turns out he was a smart guy.
Right.
Five NFL titles. He knew a little bit about what he was talking about. We're talking to Joe Dineen here, Kansas middle linebacker. Joe, my final four quickies for you.
Okay.
All right. Just tell me the first thing that comes to mind. First of all, what's the best uniform combination you've got?
Well, I like the white, red, white. White helmet, red jersey, white pants.
White, red, white. I'm trying to – yeah, okay. I remember that one. That's solid. You got some pretty good ones.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
the unis are strong.
All white is strong too.
I think I always like all white. I think
very
that's
clean.
Tough. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Very good. We're a couple of uniform nerds.
I am too.
All right. Are you a Chiefs fan? I assume.
Yeah.
All right. Will Andy Reid ever win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Really?
He's got to. We got to bring one back here. Just the culture around here is always so much better when the Chiefs are good. So.
I like that. I love the sheer determination there. Will Kansas win the Big 12 in basketball this year?
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of a homer. I knew where you'd go
with
that one.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, more touchdown passes over the next 4 years. I asked this to all kinds of people at the Super Bowl, from like Mike Holmgren.
Okay.
Former Packer and Seahawk coach. Yep. Won a Super Bowl. Coached in three. I asked it to Ron Jaworski. Uh-huh.
He even asked our server that earlier today.
I did. Okay. I asked her. She was very kind. More touchdown passes the next 4 years, Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes? Don't just homer it. Think it through.
You said next 4 years?
Next 4 years, because that's how long Alex Smith's contract is.
Yeah. I think Pat Mahomes, and the reason why is that as you watch Alex versus their games, passing-wise, are so different. You know, paddle roll out left, chuck 170 yards, sidearm.
Right.
And that's not always good, but sometimes you got to risk it to get to make some big plays,
that's
you know? Right. So I think in his first couple years, it might be a little bit rough for Pat Mahomes, but I think after year three and four, he's going to settle in and he's going to find his groove. Maybe year two and just start. I think he's got the potential to be like a Brett Favre-esque kind of guy.
There we go. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping even more for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that would be
combination
good
of Favre, Rodgers, and Brady.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'll take that.
I'll go with it. You know, he's shockingly big.
Yeah, he's huge. Oh, my
Mahomes.
My first sack ever was on him, and it was.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was. It was tough. It was tough to bring him down. Yeah.
You noticed that right away.
Oh, yeah.
He's at least your size.
He's bigger than me.
Yeah. I didn't want to shortchange you, but
No, he's bigger
definitely
than me.
Now, too.
And, yeah.
And I talked to him at the Super Bowl, and he was wearing a short-sleeve shirt, and I was like, you know, curls for girls, huh, Pat? Because the gun show was out.
Honestly, we went to Media Day 2 years ago, and he was out there at the pool. I was like, is this guy a D-end, or is he a quarterback? I couldn't figure out. He looks the part.
Yeah, he looks the part. Yeah. There's no doubt. Hey, Joe, it's always great watching you play. Love the effort. Love the passion. And certainly looking forward to everything getting turned around here in Kansas. But thanks for taking some time out for us, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again soon.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Joe Denee, linebacker for the Kansas Jayhawks, joining us here in the program. We'll take a break. Come back, wrap things up here at the 23rd Street Brewery in Lawrence. 3512 Clinton Parkway, the ultimate spot to watch KU basketball, football, any sporting event. Happy hour 3 to 5 every day. Craft beers for just a George Washington. Daily lunch specials for you as well. It is a great spot to come hang out and meet with friends, family, what have you. The staff is so good. They've treated us so well. So Matt Llewellyn and his staff, come see him here at the 23rd Street Brewery.